fourth chapter of the book of John, right? This is the Samaritan woman at the well, right? And he's just gone through all the process of telling her she's had five husbands, and she said, "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet," and other stuff. So, well, let's start in that. Verse 19. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say, because she knew she was a Jew, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Okay, they're on the mountain. Does anybody know where they are? They're in Samaria. And they're still on that, they still have that temple on that mountain in Samaria, and they cut the sheep's neck every Passover. They have a Passover celebration. It's a mountain in Samaria, anyway. Everybody's got a place to do the service, right? What's yours? You got to have a thing in your mind of where you think. She said, "We worship God here in this mountain, but you as a Jew, you worship him over in Jerusalem. Somebody else worships him someplace else." But what does Christ say? Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." When is the hour? It's his hour, when his hour has come. "You worship what you know, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And he was talking of himself, obviously. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And he came unto his disciples and marveled. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he had talked with the woman. Why did they marvel? Why did he marvel that they talked to the woman?
He can't go near Samaria.
They had to walk all the way around. Well, it's not here, but they had to go all the way over into what's now Jordan to get to Galilee, so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. Because they were mixed.
They're unclean.
Huh?
They're unclean.
No, that's a technical word. They were mixed. To be unclean is a technical temple term, which is another subject. The woman, and upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked to the woman, yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." The word for meat there is food. "I have food to eat that you know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus said unto them, "My meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Now, the idea then of what sustains this trek, or what provides the nourishment and sustenance for this trek from the cocoon to the butterfly, to get from the butterfly to the, from, I can talk, to get from the butterfly to the cocoon, you just eat normal guy's food.
Caterpillar.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
The guy turned around.
Can we start over again?
Yeah, roll tape back here.
In order to get from the caterpillar to the cocoon, you just eat normal guy's food.
Leaves.
Huh?
Leaves and stuff.
Whatever. Eat a potato. Carrot.
So
you can eat
different meat.
Huh?
Now we need different meat to get to the butterfly.
You have to have different kind of food. You have to have a different thing to sustain you.
Different sustenance, guys. That sustenance is
it Christ?
Christ, but what does that mean? Right, but what does that mean? How do you eat the flesh? We could believe like we're Catholics.
Not laying down your life.
No. Nice guess. You can't, you don't, if you don't have any food, you won't have the power to lay down your life.
By reading the word.
No.
By doing the will of God. Well, I mean, that one was a good Baptist thing.
Well, that's a great answer. How do you do that?
Well, that's what you said.
By going to DTS.
No. We can, there's the Catholic the Catholic doctrine is transubstantiation. And it means that when you eat the little wafer,
it is Christ.
It is the body of Christ.
So they say that when you get it.
That's right. That's not it. I just thought I'd tell you that. Okay. I have food that you know not of. My food is to do the will of the Father. But he didn't stop there. He said, and to finish the work. If he just said, my will is to do, my food is to do the will of the Father, then we wouldn't be here, because we wouldn't have, if he didn't finish the work, we wouldn't have been able to participate in that food. Understand that? Okay, now let's do it another one. Go to Luke 24.
It's got to be rest or obedience.
No, it's not rest. It's not rest.
You're running out of cliches.
Really? 20 biblical questions. You've had 21.
We lost them all, man. If we'd been a baseball game, we'd be running out.
That's your reward in there.
Luke, what, 24?
Luke 24. Luke 24. And a disciple called Cleophas were walking. They were all disappointed. They're all bent out of shape because they had come all the way from Greece to be at Jerusalem for the Passover. Luke was a doctor, but he had made the trip. No, he didn't come from Greece. They came from Alexandria in Egypt. They were the Greeks in Alexandria. And they came, and they believed on the Messiah. They believed that this was the Christ. They believed that this was the man that they should follow and try to emulate, that he would bring them all things. And then all of a sudden, before their very eyes, he was arrested, spat upon, scourged, and crucified. Dead. Dreams, hopes, ambitions shattered to the ground. They'd been following him for a long time. They were some of the sort of the interested bystanders that were following Jesus around. They saw the miracles. They acknowledged him as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Son of God. They believed in Jesus as their personal Savior. You got the picture? They traveled all the way from, and this is a big trip. They went from Alexandria to Jerusalem. This is a guy that's a doctor. He's got important stuff to do. To see the Messiah. Disappointed, nothing went right, everything went wrong. He's dead. Behold, two of them, starting verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. There wasn't any room in Jerusalem because everybody in the universe had come to Passover on that day. Josephus says, remember how many, who remembers how many lambs were killed that day? 250,000 lambs were slain for that Passover. And every lamb was slain. And you remember, it was only the males that ate it in the Passover ceremony. Women didn't participate. So there were 250 times 10 at least, or between 10 and 20. Each lamb served between 10 and 20 people. So that's somewhere between 2.5 to 5 million men in Jerusalem for the Passover. In addition, they were all kind. They brought their kids, their families, because they come for the trips. Jerusalem, it's packed. Jerusalem, I mean, they said there were some 6 million in the temple during this time. And behold, two of them, which, oh, by the way, so the reason I said all that is this, because Jerusalem was built as a feast city. Every house had its little house thing where they did normal little house stuff. And then they had an apartment above an upper room that every house in Jerusalem had to have by law an upper room, which was a hospitality. It was for the pilgrimages, for the feasts, and for the other reasons that people came to Jerusalem. And they were forbidden to charge rent. So they came and they stayed in the upper room, and what they got for their, it became the custom, is they got the carcass of the skins of the sacrifices that those people gave that they were staying in the upper room for their, as a thanksgiving for them letting them use them. But Jerusalem is so crowded now, they had to stay in Emmaus, and it's up the valley, up the Kidron Valley. How far does it say? 60 furlong. How many is 60 furlong?
7.5 miles.
7.5 miles. Spoken directly from his reference Bible.
I was impressed.
How did he do that?
It's just
that
one right out there.
7.5 miles.
How many minutes did it take him to walk?
About 4 miles an hour would be a strong walk.
I call that a strong walk.
We're in verse 13.
We did it in 2 hours.
Okay, we got it now, we got the picture. So they wanted to stay in Jerusalem, but there was no room, so they had to stay all the way out to Emmaus, and they're walking back after the crucifixion, and they're really despondent. Can anybody empathize with this? Nothing in their life has gone right. They're all screwed up.
It's going to be this way forever.
It's going to be, no, worse. It's just going to get worse.
The whole me and Jesus thing failed.
He died right in front of me.
Died right.
Lied to me down at the Bible church. Son of a bitch.
We believe that guy.
Yeah. Got it on him.
So can everybody empathize how you would feel if you had traveled to find the Savior? You found him, and then he disappointed you. Yeah. All right. So we got the picture.
Now we're supposed to know the answer.
What answer?
The answer to the sustenance to get out of the camp.
You want to take another guess?
What? Give up.
Continually keeping the fast and worshiping and praying.
Is that like a prize if you get this right or something?
You lost.
No, it just makes sense.
I already told you the answer. You were so busy answering it. Trying to get a brownie point that you didn't even hear me answer. Didn't I?
Everyone knows now that you.
Laura?
Okay, well, Laura, you tell me when we get on watching.
No, I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. I didn't hear him answer.
And they walked and they talked together of all these things which had happened. What had happened? Crucifixion, the hunt for the disciples.
Little naked kid running through the street, cut the ear off a centurion.
Right, all those things.
Never looked at it that way.
Huh?
Never looked at it that way.
Mark.
A whole bunch of stuff happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is Luke. Luke is the one that's walking along here.
Yeah, that was just a different perspective we just came from.
And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them.
They were trying to figure it out to get
they did. They just spent, you know, a long time with Christ. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What?
Leave their eyes, but then leave their hearts.
Yeah. Well, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And Jesus said unto them, what things?
They say Jesus didn't have a sense of humor. He had to have a good one.
Take another step.
Yeah. What things?
What's, you want to try for answer number 22?
What things?
Is there something going on?
Now, this is the third time that he's appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, and they couldn't see him.
They never
seen. And they did. They're going to see him in a minute. Huh?
Well, I know eventually, but in that moment, they...
No, they're going to see him in a minute. Watch. We're about to find out the answer to Burnett's question. But by the time we find out the answer, Burnett will have forgotten the question.
I know you didn't tell us the answer.
Yes, he did.
Not the true answers.
Everybody in the room knows the answer.
And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Whatever it is you think your thing is. Now, but we trusted that it would have been he that would have, whatever you're, you got it?
Fulfilled our desire.
Fulfilled your desire. And besides all this, today is the third day since those things were done. Now, why did they say that? Because the promise, they remembered that he said, I'll tear down this temple in 3 days, it'll be built again.
So it should be back by
then. Okay. Yes, and now he comes. Yes, and certain women also of our company. Who was the first woman to see him?
Mary
the whore. It's always the whore that's the first one to see. She knows her need. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at his sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. This is Jesus talking to them.
This guy's saying all this stuff to Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to get this in your mind. And then he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's what you've been hearing.
Yeah, all at once.
Wow. No, but he just showed that he was the fulfillment of all the law, the writings, and the prophets. And this took place in the time that, you know, who knows how far they were outside of Jerusalem, but in the 7.5 mile walk. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. In other words, I'll see you guys. He had just expounded in all the scriptures. So they thought, this guy's pretty neat. He called them fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
We can get something from this guy.
Huh?
We can get something from this guy.
This is one of these two-bit disciples.
The minute he says fool, the guys are thinking, he knows us. I know that.
Sir, I perceived that out of prophecy.
Yeah. You nasty young man. He knows who I am.
And he made as though he would have gone further, and it's important that you recognize that. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to them. And he said this, the same thing we always say. What did he say? This, you got to hear this. How many times have you said this? What's the blessing for the bread? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. They just saw the bread of life go into the earth. You understand? Now, soon he took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them, and he said that. That's the blessing. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And the minute they knew him, he vanished from their sight. Now we're beginning to understand the sustenance of the from the cocoon to the butterfly. Now watch. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Now, Jesus said to the woman in Samaria, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now, what happened? He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work. Now the work is finished. Now he could be the bread that cometh forth from the earth. And the moment they recognized and saw him in the breaking of the bread, then he, after the flesh, vanished. And now they are empowered to eat the food that the flesh knows not of. Now, that flesh, that food, is the peace offering. And she knew it.
Which is to know Christ.
But it's much more than that. The peace offering, there, it's much more than it's by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. To know the peace offering is to eat that peace offering, is to know that you will never again be deceived. That you will never again take thought for yourself. That you will never again be in a state of judgment. You will never again be out of the state of peace. And that's what we're going to study now, is peace offering.
So that's a lot like whenever we talk about believing in.
Right, this is now believing on the faith, or believing with the faith instead of in Christ. Sure. Okay, now, let's...
I never noticed before the energy of that moment, you know, because it, you know, these guys have been walking all day, really. I mean, you know, walk 7.5 miles at the end of the day. You've lost everything. Nothing has worked out. All your dreams and hopes are gone. And then after he reveals himself, they go right back to Jerusalem. 7.5 miles.
Start preaching.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
empowered.
Yeah, I mean, it's because you know they didn't feel it, but all of a sudden it didn't matter. It was just,
the church was probably half as short.
And what I never saw before is they go back there and they start preaching, and the next thing that happens in the middle of the room, Christ appears.
Right. Let's look at that.
That's pretty strong preaching.
Luke, we're still in Luke. And where are they now? They're in the upper room hiding out. Remember, Mark's father was rich. And so his upper room was enclosed with a big wall around it. And it was big enough, his upper room was big enough to hold 120 people. So it was a big mansion. Mark was watching in the Garden of Gethsemane, saw Peter cut off the ear of the guard, put it back, then Christ put it back, watched as Christ was betrayed. He was only 9 years old at this point. And then he was running away, and one of the guards grabbed him because they wanted him to identify who was with Christ so they could arrest them also. And he pulled out of his garment, and he ran naked from the Garden of Gethsemane to his home, which is another probably 2 or 3 miles. Naked through the streets of Jerusalem. So this then became Mark.
These rich kids, I swear they can do anything.
This is the man that wrote this Gospel of Mark. Then Luke is one, the doctor that we just read, that had this wild, massive experience while he was in a state of total doubt. Okay, now continuing. So they're back at Mark's house. That's their headquarters. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were, now they're terrified and affrighted. And suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me here. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a boiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said, These are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. And I'll give the word, that shouldn't be translated Psalms, it should be translated writings. The law, the prophets, and the writings concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be imbued with power from on high. And that they had to tarry for 50 days until Pentecost. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, I want us to find out what it is that this meat is. What did they feed them with? I want us to find out the full apprehension of that. It is the peace offering, but what does that mean? Okay? But I don't want to do it without everybody here. So,
what I had not seen before was, before Christ ate with these two guys, they were like sad and depressed and despondent, and everything was screwed up, and they had no power, and everything was going crummy. And the rest of them, they come back to Jerusalem, the rest of them are in that state until Christ comes in and eats with them.
Right.
And the result of that is great joy.
Amen.
And I don't know what that means, but I haven't seen it.
You don't know what it means, but what?
I don't know what it means, but I hadn't seen it. There's something about this eating with Christ that produces great joy and efficacy and all the other stuff. And the ability to turn the world upside down.
Well, food is the metaphor. I mean, God could have made you like a bush, not just a tree. And you just sort of stand around and you gain your sustenance from light. Yeah, from light or whatever. You could have gotten your sustenance from, you know, but we were made and constructed so that we had to eat and drink so that we would apprehend the meaning of Christ, and that's the only reason. And so that's why the next, this series that we're going to study now on the meaning of the peace offering is so vital, because it's what will, it's what sustains you, it what gives you energy, it what's it satisfies your every heart's desire in this peace offering. And the fruit of it is this joy unspeakable. It has nothing to do with anything but apprehension. When you apprehend, and you apprehend when you see him, as you as you see him, then you're like him. Then you lay down your life. Then and faith is possible. Then love comes. Then all the things come as you apprehend his finished work. But there has to be the sustenance. You can't no longer feed on the things that you fed on in Egypt.
Do we get some help here? Because it says he caused their understanding to be
open. You get some help.
Sure needs.
You get some help.
Okay.